You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I'm Leslie. Don't know if I've said welcome to you online, but hi. We've been members, my husband Tony and I, Tony is an elder, we've been members of CLC for 34 years. We came to Hereford, we believed it was led by God. Tony was working up in Shrewsbury as very young Christians. And God grows us. He's grown me, he's grown us together. We have three boys, and you know he's always been there. There is a song, "You've Always Been There." It's not always been easy. One of the songs we sang through all the sort of difficult times. He's always been there, faithful and true. So I would like you to, if you can, put the first slide on. This is going to shock you. I hope I'm going to be the first person to wish you a happy Christmas. Woo! And I thought I need to put that on the screen for some reason. How many of you love dressing Christmas trees? Yes! And you probably think she really has lost the plot today. She just really is on a different level. That is our dressed Christmas tree. And you say, oh, it's not got any baubles on, it doesn't look pretty. But you know, this little Christmas tree, actually it's not that little. I've been wanting for a while a Christmas tree in a pot so that at Christmas I can put lights on it. Woo-woo! But I'm not a gardener. We're not gardeners, we're not very good. And I found this little tree in a corner of, it was Oak Church, in the clearance section, just on its own, with real lots of other plants and stuff that nobody wanted. However, I saw it and I thought, you know what, that has potential to be that tree that I've been looking for. There were some that were worse off, there were some that were bigger, but it was like, no, that is the tree for me. So we actually got it. We dressed it in order to get it in the car, in case you're wondering why that strange contraption of blankets. It was to protect it. They haven't got all that string, and it's in a pot. But I thought, you know what? It does look crazy. And sometimes we just have to be crazy for God. However, I believe that it's a picture that God is repositioning people. He's bringing you out of that place of darkness, that place of feeling lonely, isolated, obsolete. Finished with. I think Hannah mentioned it in worship. Lonely, disappointed, afraid. I added sadness, grief, loss, brokenness. And he's going to reposition you. So if we can have the next slide. Ta-da! Our Christmas tree. What a wonderful Christmas tree. You can't see the broken branches. You can't see the contorted branches because it stood close, so close to the other one. In a corner, it's literally grown lopsided. You know, sometimes we're like that, but God is repositioning some of you here, some of you online, into a place for you to grow, to be planted for his splendor. A prominent position to shine light into the darkness, my Christmas tree, our Christmas tree. Okay. We've been doing a series on Isaiah 61, that we are anointed to bring good news to the poor, that it's the year of the Lord's favour, that we have a double portion of blessing, pouring out his God's joy, returning to our first love. God so delights in each and every one of you. It's just amazing. We are his children. We've had 24-hour times of prayer, and great times of intimate worship, taking us deeper into God's presence, knowing his heart, touching his heart. And overall this year, we've been looking at go. Go and make disciples. And where is God calling us to go? Earlier this year, we reopened our Revive Cafe. Yes, thank you. Woo, woo, woo. A lot of you I've seen there. I can see faces I recognise here today. Woo, woo. That is amazing. We have an amazing team of people that come in, that volunteer, that work together. And, you know, it's just really good to see them growing. They might not have cooked before. They might not have used a till before. I haven't. But they are growing. We are growing together. And it's just absolutely wonderful to see how God is using people. I just I'll just go on to that, shall I?
Okay. There we go. Forget the scarf. I do like the scarves, those who know me well. Okay, so it has been a bit of a roller coaster at times. And sometimes it's exciting. Oh, what's God going to do? And then it's like, oh my goodness, what if? And it's those little words, the whispers. And yet God always gives. He always delivers. We've put a bid in to become a talk community, which means that we will be advertising as a place people can come in from the community, from anywhere in Hereford or outside, and get information. We don't have to do anything else. We can do if you want to. Give them free coffee, give them a hug if they need it. But it's to provide information, a place where they can come and be signposted. Yes, we know that our signposting for them is Jesus. However, we will signpost them to the things in Hereford that they've been asking to see as well. So that's one of the things we've done. We've got a Tuesday afternoon art group run by Di, which is bringing people in, woo, 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 people in to be loved, to be cared for, that just see that this is different, that we are a people that love other people because of what God's done in us. God is on the move. And sometimes I do start to wonder, can I do this? Am I able? Am I capable? That little word of the enemy. And scripture that I found really helpful over the last few months is 2 Corinthians 3. And it says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendations to you or from you? You yourselves, each and one of us here that know Jesus, are the letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. It's not a letter, it's a person. God didn't send us a love letter, he sent us a person, his son Jesus. And he sends us out to be his love letter to the world. Our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. What does God say to us by his Spirit? Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God writes his message on our hearts, in our lives, by what we say to go and talk to others about. And it goes on to say, such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything, but our competence comes from God. He, God, makes me competent. God makes us competent. We are able. As ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. And I was thinking, how can I really sort of show that? Because I used to go to a Church of England. I used to believe that my day would be measured by the do's and the don'ts, the commandments, what I've done, what I haven't done, a religion, a legalism. You're good or you're bad. You've met it or you haven't. And you know what? That just gives you a load of rules that you're worried about breaking. And that's what the Ten Commandments did in the Old Testament. And it leads you into condemnation of the things you haven't done. And I thought a good way of showing it was the fact that we had our inspection from the Environmental Health Department. I was dreading it. If Steve was here, he would tell you how much I was dreading it. I used to be a teacher. I used to have Ofsted. I hate inspections. I hate people coming along with a checklist of what I've done or not done. And they turned up one day. I thought Steve was joking. I think I've probably shared this with you. And it was the environmental health officer. She went through the kitchen with a fine-tooth comb, so to speak, looking in the fridge, checking all the temperatures, checking the labels. And it was like, oh, my goodness, my worst nightmare had happened. And I wasn't even meant to be in that day, but I was. And it was like, oh, my goodness, maybe I'd have preferred to have heard later. She was a lovely lady. Gave us a list of things to do, which is here, if anybody wants to see them. And then she came back several weeks later when I kept thinking, oh, actually, yes, she will come back. We've done everything. And she turned up and I knew who she was and we had a greeting and it was like, oh, it's a relationship now, not just a fear. It's a relationship. I know who she is. I know who to expect. I can talk to her. She's there to help us, not close us down. And that's true. And she went through it all and she goes, you've got really good facilities. It's really good here. You're back to 5-star. Woo, woo, woo. So, and if Lynn's watching, thank you, Lynn. You got us the 5 stars in the first place. Okay. So we maintain those 5 stars. We had a few things we had to do. She gave us time to just, you know, smarten this up or change that. You know, God's a bit like that with us. He sees us perfect and 5 stars because of Jesus. Yes, we have a bit of work to do. But do you know what? His end goal is to help us be that 5-star representation of Jesus. Amen? So that is just how Revive is sort of just the kingdom of God. So back to our 5-star rating. It brought release. I don't come into work worrying if the environmental health officer is coming to check us out. She can. We still have to live by the law. We still have to do things that comply with the law. It hasn't taken it away, but it just makes it more livable. You can enjoy it. You can live in it. I don't have to live in fear. And it's a bit like that with my relationship with God because of Jesus. Jesus took away my sins so that I can be confident in a relationship with him and enjoy it, be relaxed, try to do my best, still live by the law of wanting to do things that God's way. Okay? So the Holy Spirit brings release and freedom and makes us 5 stars. Oh, connect to a Wi-Fi. I think you can do that. Okay. So when I begin to ever think, oh, can I do this? I know the answer is actually, yes, I can. Because it's just my thinking, the whispers of the enemy that says, oh, are you sure you can do this? Maybe you can't. We don't always get things right. In Revive, personally, I don't always get things right, my husband will tell you. However, God helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us to actually make sure we are the best versions of ourselves. Okay, so a bit like Isaiah 61, he has anointed us. God has anointed me to preach good news, to set the captives free. And whilst I'm just on the subject of Revive, we do have plenty of opportunities. Just put a little plug in there. Yes, Sarah's laughing. Never want to miss an opportunity. We opened for the first Saturday last week. We've got new people helping. Always opportunities. It's a great team. Okay. So we have also introduced a pay it forward scheme. That means that you can come in, you can get a little ticket by sort of you pay for it, and that goes on our pay it forward board. Ta-da! That was one of those little God moments. I was thinking of introducing it. It was something we wanted to do. And suddenly, we walked into a cafe in London. They did it. And it was like, wow, I see it in operation. I'm a visual learner. You'll probably have found that out already. And we saw it in operation. And then we got home, a week or so passed. And then I realized on Google it was going to be International Pay It Forward Day the following Wednesday. I was like, no, I can't miss this opportunity. So we got it done, and it was all up and ready to go. And I can remember a particular point because Tony and I were talking about it. We wanted to put a scripture on it. And we were reading through the Bible, reading scriptures, and suddenly Isaiah 58. And if I start to cry today, it's fine. Holy Spirit's here, and I've got my tissues. Okay. So Isaiah 58, and it starts from verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. Set people free from depression, from grief, from isolation, from addictions, from being caught up in legalism of what they can or can't do, and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And Tony read that, and I said, yes, slightly tearful as well again, because you know that's what God wants. He wants us to be involved with social justice so that we can set people free. Okay, because that's how he is going to display his glory, his splendor, through his people, through our go. Where we go, who we go to, what we go with. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. He is there. And then it goes on in verse 10. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday, and the Lord will guide you always. We haven't got it all right. We haven't always got it all right. But God is putting into us, I believe, a heart for people with his go. For that tree that was just stuck in a corner, almost obsolete, that had grown incorrectly because of where it was placed. God has a heart for that tree because it's like people. He has a heart to see people strong and whole and rooted into him. And that is why we have to have a go. To take that good news and set the captives free. Okay? So that was Isaiah 58. I believe that as the cafe's up and running, we're going to have greater opportunity for the community to come in to meet their needs. God's already got places in mind, people in mind, and it's just when you see things slot into place, it's like, wow! God, it's just so amazing what you're doing. And I believe there is sort of an open heaven. And actually, each and everyone has an open heaven when we have a connection with the Father heart of God by his Holy Spirit. And I sometimes think, oh, actually, an open heaven is something I really need to work for. But actually, I've got a relationship with God. I've got the Holy Spirit. I have an open heaven where I go. And I need to take that out to the people that need it. And God will do it because I am competent through Christ. Not me, not what I can do, what I don't do. It's because of Christ. I was in home base a few weeks ago in Ledbury. Actually, I'd been to see a friend for coffee. And I had to pick a lawnmower up for my mum. So I go into home base. And this is a strange occurrence to some extent. I'm walking along and I see a lady rubbing her back and I thought I should pray for her. And God said, yes, you shouldn't. It's like, excuse me? What? Oh dear, thoughts. And he was like, oh my goodness, are you serious? So we're having this conversation. Yeah, I generally do obey God. Sometimes it just takes a little longer. I don't like to be out of my comfort zone. Yes, I can be afraid of people. But actually, bottom line is, I prefer to be in God's will. Then out of it. So we had a little bargain, God and I. Don't know if you have these discussions with him. And I had to pay. This lady was paying. I had to put the stuff in the car. And I said, okay, if she's still there, when I come back to get the other parcel, I will talk with her. Thinking, I can defer it. No, I couldn't. No, you can't do that. Not with God. It was like, she's still there. She's sitting in the car having a nice chatter, just waiting for you to go. And it's like, okay, I'm on my way. So I go and knock on they're in the car by now, windows up. In fact, they're just getting the windows down. So I knock on the window and I say, excuse me, I'm a Christian and I believe God's told me that I should pray for your friends back. Oh, well, which church do you go to? And I said, I'm Christian Life Church in Hereford. I'm a evangelical Christian, and I believe that God wants me to pray for your friends back. Oh, we're Christian spiritualists. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So I said, are you happy if I pray for your back? Yes, yes, that's fine. So I go around the other side of the car, because that was where the lady that had the bad back, or I thought it was the bad back. And I said, do you mind if I just put my hands on you? She said, yes, that's fine. So I just put my hands on her and prayed for healing of her back. I didn't ask her whether she'd felt healed, because actually I was probably still in a state of shock as well. Because that's not yet my everyday experience, but actually I believe it will be. And I think we should expect it to be, that as we go, God is going to tell us what to do and who to do it with. So it might be a bit scary, but I tell you what, we are going to touch people. And we are going to let people see the kingdom of God in action. Okay, so I don't know whether she got healed, but I did what God asked me to do. Yes, I was a little bit slow. Thank you, but I've got another story which really is not one for clapping, so up there, believe you me, I'm only human. Really, really, just, anyway, thank you, but it's just following God, being prepared. Okay, there's lots of new people that are being added to CLC, and God's planted you here for a reason. He's put you here because you have specific skills, promises over your lives, vision, heart, to do something for his kingdom. And I cannot wait to see how that grows. I cannot wait to be a part of it. Because God has a plan, a purpose, and an open heaven. And if we're walking that way with him, wow, it can be amazing. I also think it's time for blue sky thinking. I should have included the picture from the foyer, that lovely blue sky. And I think earlier on, it might have been Tim and Dan that talked about being in with the program. God's put things on your hearts in the past. Doing stuff with Revive and expanding it was put on our hearts ages ago. And you just get to that point of thinking, like the little tree in the corner, no, I can't do this, I've missed it, I'm just obsolete now. Nobody wants me, I can't do everything. God's bringing you into the light. He is bringing your dreams, your visions, your desires, your passions into the light to do something with it. Don't be afraid. You're competent through Christ. Which leads me to bring Isaiah 60, first one, the glory of Zion. And I love God. I love the way God works strange things. Friday I was preparing for this, and I was going up on the open heaven route, and I'd listened to something by Bill Johnson, thinking, oh, open heaven, yeah. And then somehow with YouTube, it goes on to like another one and then another one. And suddenly out of my tablet, which was sort of stuck on the side, arise and shine. And it's like, oh, that was sort of where I was headed. And it's like, no, come back again. So God just clarified Isaiah 60, the glory of Zion. Verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. This is the time for the glory of the Lord to rise upon us. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. After everything we've gone through, I think COVID, it sort of put us to sleep a bit, sort of covered us, and we sort of lived through it, not in it. And it's like, he wants to lift the lid off that. Lift the lid off depression. Lift the lid off the fogginess of, oh yeah, we used to do that. Oh, I feel like I've been asleep. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And it goes on to say, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. God's glory, God's splendor. His amazing promises. Just everything he has done to bring us into relationship with him through Jesus. His splendor rises above us. And it's like, wow. Just imagine taking that out, going with that splendor behind you as your rear guard, in front of you. Wow. Get with the program. Cool. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. God's splendor, God's holiness. That is why we need to be saturated and overflowing with the Holy Spirit, for God's splendor to be seen. Not my inadequacies, not my inabilities, not my fears, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit overcomes them. So when you mentioned this morning about get with the program, yeah, get with the program, arise and shine. And I really, it says lift up your eyes and look about you. And it's like, oh. Jesus said that. Ooh, this is where it gets a bit dodgy. Jesus said that in John 4, verse 35, in between the story of the Samaritan woman, one of the ones I really love. He just has a little bit there, and he says to his disciples, he says, lift up your eyes. And I think after COVID, it is time for us to really lift up our eyes. Where are we going? What is God doing? And Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Go. There's an urgency. Stand up, rise up, open your eyes, see, look. What is God doing? I've put here, God lights the fire. God puts the fire of his promises and his passions and his desires, his plans for us in our hearts. The priests have to keep it burning. You might feel that your fire, that passion, that promise that you've held on to, the prophecies that have been over you are sort of pushed under in the corner, like the tree, a bit obsolete, forgotten about. But you know what? Bring it into the light. God's kingdom is big enough for everything, for everybody. So, arise, stand up, gather the harvest. And I should probably end up in tears, so I hope my husband's ready to sort of step in if needed. So I said a moment ago I'd obeyed God. And my brother died last year. So when I say there is an urgency, there is an urgency. And I remember sitting in the car with him. He died unexpectedly. We thought we had longer than we did. But he died unexpectedly. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I didn't ask him if he knew God. And there was such a sense of conviction that you didn't do it. You haven't asked him. God didn't say anything, actually. But I felt it. I'd wasted some of the last days I'd had with him, and I didn't ask him. But you know, God is so gracious. And actually, when we were going through his stuff, I found a card that someone else had written to him with a book all about Jesus. And it was like, God, you are so good. It was me sort of sitting not only in grief, but inside, oh dear, worse than that. I don't know if my brother read it. I don't know where he's gone to be honest. My mum said that he'd sort of lost some faith because of his illness. But I know God had him on his radar. I know that he had friends who were Christians, and I know that God would have done everything. So when I talk about urgency, there are people out there, we don't know how long they've got. We don't know how long we've got. So there is an urgency for that go, arise, stand up. Today could be the day. Today could be the day that you heal somebody. Today could be the day that you get that you help someone to know Jesus. Today could be the day that your promises are released and you say, wow. Today could be the day that you get a whole new vision and you think, wow, how can I do that? Because Jesus qualifies you, because God has a plan, because he says, go and make disciples. Okay? So that was the one that, yeah, that's not one to be quite so clap, because actually I thought to myself, I shouldn't have waited. But God knew. And when I found the letter in the book that was in my brother's belongings, it was like, oh, thank you, God. So gracious that even then he made me aware that he'd got it sorted. And it was just like, God, wow, what an amazing God we have. So arise, shine, for your light has come. Gather up the harvest. And the last little picture, I just had to go back to this because actually the title on this will be Arise and Shine. So if we can have the last slide. Woo, woo, woo. Do you know what? A Christmas tree, not mine yet, because we hadn't got any lights to put on it. But all you can see are the lights. You can't see those branches. You can't see them disfigured. You can't see whether they're in the right place or not. You can't see any imperfections. You just see the light. And you know what? When we go out, when we do our go, when we arise and shine, they see the light in our lives. And our light that is Jesus in our lives goes and shines in the darkness. They don't see the imperfections. Well, they might, and they'll probably tell us if they do. But you know what's greater? It's that light. And that little Christmas tree of mine, I haven't given it a name yet, but no doubt I probably will. That little Christmas tree of mine, it will be there at Christmas. I've got plenty of tissues. It'll be there at Christmas and it'll be shining. You won't see the funny branch that's literally sort of curved behind its back because it was stunted. And that's what God does for us. He takes everything that we feel has held us back and he shines a light in us, through us, out to display his splendor, to display his glory, to bring his light into the darkness. It doesn't matter about our imperfections. It matters that we let that light shine. Amen. Amen. I love that little picture of that Christmas tree. It took me a while to find it. So, arise and shine. Get with the program. Thank you, Dan. Fitted so well today. Get with the program. Go. Make disciples. I'm just going to ask you to stand up, if I can, because I feel it not only needs a response, it needs us to take a responsibility for what God has put in us. So it's not just a response, it's taking responsibility for what God has done in our lives and what God wants to do in our lives. So thank you for standing. I pray that God has sparked something in you today or over the days, that, Father, they will just come to light. And I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you just want us to stand up, to take responsibility, to respond to you and shine your light in the darkness. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you put everything into us that we need. It's not about my ability, but my availability. It's not about how good we are, but how good you are. Because you always deliver, you always give the best, because you're our Father. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you are taking us deeper and deeper into your glory, that, Father, we can shine even brighter for you. We can bring your light into the darkness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.